When we come to look at the simplicity of our walk with Jesus Christ, what that means for us, what it boils down to is this. It boils down to just walking with Him, knowing what His will is, and being faithful to obey Him. The simplicity of that is we believe what the Lord Jesus has done for us, it will have that effect in our life. How does the Lord work this out? When Paul came to the Thessalonican church, actually they weren't even a church, he came to the city. He was only there for 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks. And when he got there, they knew absolutely nothing about the things of God. But he proclaimed the gospel. And in 3 weeks' time, there was a fledgling church growing. Because of the persecution, he left. And then about a year later, he writes this letter to the Thessalonians, the First Thessalonians epistle. In this, in one passage here, he declares something very telling about this group of people that I want to look at because I want to get back to the basics within our life, and that in regard to the Scriptures. Notice verse 13 of chapter 2. Paul says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Now that's a mouthful. That there's a lot here. Have you ever noticed the place of the Bible in many people's lives? Maybe to some it's a curriculum in college that they have to take, studying the Bible as literature. To some it may be on their coffee table as a decoration. Or a wedding Bible that you store pictures and things that you want to hold on to keep in memory. And it's something like that. To some, it may be a magic book. You know, if you hold on to a Bible or if you carry a Bible, it might just save your life or something, you know. And, you know, like the proverbial story of someone who got shot and they thought he was dead and then he pulled out this Bible he had in his vest pocket and the bullet went through it and it saved his life. It's kind of like a magic book. Some people treat the Bible in many ways, but the problem is, oftentimes people are not real practical. Because God gave us a book. Now, He could have called us on the telephone. He could have chosen that as a means to communicate. He could have written it in the sky. But He chose to give us a book, in black and white, to know what His will is. Now, it's very practical. It's very simple when you think about it. We should probably spend our time getting into the book to find out what God is all about. And yet too few people approach the Bible that way. I'm reminded of the one lady who desperately was looking for her Bible because her women's Bible study was coming over and she couldn't find it anywhere. And finally she panicked. She went to the maid and says, "Have you seen my Bible? I can't find it." And the maid went, "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!" And she said, "Well, what are you praising the Lord for?" She goes, "Well, because when I start a new job, I always hide the person's Bible to see how long it'll take them to find it." Now, what if someone did that to you? Would you notice it's missing? Or would you come to church and go, "Man, I can't find my Bible. I looked for it this morning, but I couldn't find it." Where is the Bible in your own experience? Now, Paul, to the Thessalonians, he was excited. He was thanking God because of one thing. That they received the Word of God. They realized it was not the word of men, but they received that as it is in truth the word of God. And that it effectively, he says, which also effectively works in you who believe. When you open the Bible, are you confident that this is truly the word of God? You know, there are attacks on the Bible because Satan will want you to not have confidence that it's truly the word of God. He'll wear you down at that. And someone will come across and say, "Well, aren't there lots of contradictions in the Bible?" And it's funny, I've studied the Bible for so long, I haven't found any contradictions. Now, most people, what they think of a contradiction is really maybe a difficulty they just don't see. They haven't read the whole passage to see what it's really saying. And they imagine a contradiction. But a contradiction is two things that can't possibly be the same, you know, the truth, because they're in contradiction to each other. There's nothing like that in the Scripture. Now, there are difficulties from time to time. There are things in the Bible that I don't understand. I admittedly will say, I do not understand what the Lord is saying in certain passages. But you know, there's so much I do understand. I don't fret about those few things that I don't understand. There's so much in the Scripture that it's so very plain. God has given to us His Word. Now, the Bible is infallible. It's inerrant, without error. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle from this Word will pass away till all is fulfilled. He has preserved His Word. The law of the Lord is perfect, the Scripture says, converting the soul. Every word of God is flawless. It's a perfect, perfect testimony of God's Word. The grass withers, the flower fades, Isaiah tells us, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. Now, it's one thing to come to the Bible and, you know, try to defend it from that standpoint, but the Bible has been described as a sword. If you were to go into battle and you were to fight your enemy, would you say, now, be careful because this is a very key sword. This is the best sword there's ever made. Notice the blade on this. I've had it sharpened doubly and it was forged in some of the finest steel. And you go on and on about your sword. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't defend your sword. You'd use it. And so it is true in the Bible. The Bible is effective in a person's life. But so often if people are trying to defend it, they're missing the point. Trust it. It has an effect in a person's life. You know, I'm reminded of a man from India who was a member of a gang of robbers. And on one occasion, he was burglarizing a house and he found a small black book containing real thin pages. And he thought, man, that'd be perfect for rolling cigarettes. So he grabbed the book and every day he'd rip out a page and he'd roll a cigarette, you know, from put some tobacco in it, roll it up for him. And one day he noticed words on the page. He never even noticed it before. So he began reading the page. And on the page, he began to be convicted for his sins and his need for God. The testimony of Scripture was right there. And he got on his knees and prayed to receive the Lord right there. See, the Word of God was having an effect in his life. It was effective. It was another interesting passage about a woman who was elated that she'd come to the Lord. She went out and bought a Bible. She came back. She was so excited. But when her husband found out, he was ticked off. And he came home drunk one night and saw her reading the Bible and he ripped it from her hands and he threw it into the fireplace. Next morning, he noticed that all the Bible had been burned up except for a few pages. And he reached down to grab them and he opened the little page and he could read and it says, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And he was like, whoa, it hit him. And God got his heart. That simple word. See, I look at the Bible as the way God put it together is a very fascinating book. There's so much of it that if anyone does try to attack a part here and a part there, if you rip pages out, you know, if you rip books out, you would just with the little bit that you have be convicted, God would speak to your heart. God has preserved His Word in that way. It's protected. Even today, I've used this illustration before, but it's such an effective one. When we go to war, and we're sending messages through the various radio bandwidths or the various frequencies. You see, everything's coded, but oftentimes what they'll do is they'll scramble a message over 5 or 6 different wavelengths. So that even if the enemy does intercept a few wavelengths, something is going to get through and it's going to be the whole message. The Bible anticipated, God anticipated attack upon His Word. He anticipated people would try to tear it apart, try to discredit it. And so what he did was he sent the message over very many different ways. When you look at the Scripture again, you could pull out parts of it and you'll still have the whole message. Because he wants to get his message across to us. He anticipated hostile jamming. And he, in anticipating that, composed the Bible in such a way that even if you take out parts, you're going to get the message from the Scriptures. God's Word is complete. But you know the amazing thing here is that Paul talks about the Word of God being effective. You see, this is the key area for our life. The Bible is effective. First of all, it's sufficient. You know, there are a lot of people searching for answers for their life. I know, in my own experience, I was trying so many different things before I became a Christian. I mean, I could tell you stories about the books I read and the philosophies I got into and every different book I'd read, you know, it would give me some little peg of truth I could hold my life onto for a short period of time. But it never lasted. It would kind of go over like a wave, and then I'd have to find some new thing. I remember going into the I'm okay, you're okay stage, you know, and reading that book, and that became my Bible. I remember the Jonathan Livingston Seagull book. You know, that became my Bible for a time. You know, I remember Games People Play by Eric Byrne. You know, I remember reading that book. And then everything in that time of my life for those 2 months, everybody was playing a mind game. And I was playing a mind game. And all of life was mind games. And so that kind of helped me keep my life, you know, together, I thought, for a time. But every time it would wear off. When I became a Christian, and I began reading the Bible, and it started having an effect in my life like nothing else. That even after 20 years of ministry from the Scriptures, 20 years in the Bible, it's as fresh today, even fresher, as the Lord speaks to my heart from it. One of my college friends saw me reading the Bible and kept seeing me read it every time he'd come by this certain place, and he said, "Aren't you finished with that book yet?" I said, "No, the Bible isn't something you finish. It's something you read every day. It becomes a part of you." And that's the mentality of the world. But you know, the amazing thing is the Bible is effective. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable. In fact, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, rather. Because this is a passage you really want to underline. Paul writing to Timothy, encouraging him to just teach the Word of God, because that is going to have the effect on the people. That's what we develop. I see an important priority of this whole ministry. We develop our services so that we have a large time in the Scriptures, because I know that it's not my platitudes, or it's not the church program, or it's not the church activity that's going to have the effect in your life. It's the Word of God. Notice what he says in verse 15, he says, "From childhood he told Timothy, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." I mean, the whole Scripture will lead you to that. But he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what that meant was that though men wrote the Bible, people will say, well, men wrote the Bible, God didn't write it. God used men to write the Bible, but he inspired it, orchestrating it so that even through their different styles of writing, through their different personalities, that he got the exact words that he wanted across. That he inspired it. Not just inspired in the sense of a writer is inspired in writing poetry, but this is God breathed. It's his word. And he says it's profitable for doctrine, number one. Doctrine is simply teaching. Truths. The facts of God and his nature. Doctrine. For reproof. Now, reproof is like a rebuke. When you're reading the Bible, there are times you'll come across passages that will expose your motives, or it'll rebuke you about something, or it'll show you something that you're not doing right, and it reproves you. But God doesn't reprove us just to leave us there, because the next one, he says, for correction. He corrects us. He shows us how we can get on the right track. Reproof shows us where we got off. Correction shows us where to get on. And then for instruction, how to keep walking, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you feel you're complete, thoroughly equipped? Maybe if you don't, you could look at your own time in the Scriptures and wonder, maybe that is the foundation. Maybe there's something missing because I'm not spending time in the Scriptures. Back to Thessalonians, Paul writes about that in truth it's the Word of God and you received it, but which also effectively works in you who believe. I have confidence in God's Word more than any institution of man, more than any self-help program, more than any therapist, therapy, idea, or theorem of man. I've seen the Word of God change lives that you can't even imagine. And yet there is an attack upon you, even as Christians, to think, well, the Bible, you know, I hear it sometimes. Well, that, you know, that's too simplistic that God says it in his Word. You know, we've got to have something else. And yet we are complete in Christ. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Do you believe that? Everything you need is found in him. It's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. And Jesus said, the words that I give to you are spirit and they are life. You want the effect in your life? You want the change? If you want something to work effectively in you, I'm telling you, the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Thy word have I kept in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Bible should be our top priority. It was for the early church. They continued daily in the scriptures. They were daily in the doctrine of the apostles and in prayer and in breaking of bread. And what happened was God was adding to their number daily such as should be saved. It was an effective testimony. Now the word of God works effectively in seven ways, seven things I think especially. Remember when Jeremiah in chapter 23, he said, the prophet that has a dream. Now God was speaking through Jeremiah. He says, the prophet that has a dream, let him tell his dream. Some people get really psyched up about dreams. You know, God spoke to me in a dream. Jeremiah says, he has a dream, let him tell a dream. But he who has my word, let him speak it faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? You know, I can have opinions about things that can be wrong. I can think about certain things. I can feel strongly about certain things. But what is my opinion to the word of God? You know, God, his word has been tried seven times in a furnace. It's purified. It's pure. Everything is perfect. My opinions have a lot to be worked on. God says, my word that goes forth from my mouth is like the rain that comes down on the ground. It will not return without having an effect on the people who are in it. And I love this because the first thing I find, the first effect from getting into the scriptures that I find in my life is that I get to know Jesus better. I get to know my God better. He reveals himself through these pages. You can get to know the Lord. And also, you get to know yourself and God's plan of redemption for you. You see a lot about that. When Jesus was talking to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, I would have loved to have been there. When Jesus resurrected and these disciples are walking away from Jerusalem all bummed out because they'd just seen Jesus crucified. And they thought, man, we thought he was the Messiah, and now he's crucified. It couldn't have been. They're walking, and they're kind of moaning with each other, and Jesus comes alongside them. Kind of, they couldn't recognize him, whether it was the scars of the cross that he still bore, or whether it was just that he kept them from recognizing him in some way. But he says, hey, what are you guys talking about? He goes, what do you mean, what are we talking about? Haven't you been around? Didn't you see what happened in Jerusalem? And he says, well, what things? And so they told him. We thought it was he was going to be the Messiah. And Jesus then told them, wasn't it in the scripture that the Christ had to suffer? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he gave them a Bible study concerning himself. Now, there's one Bible study I always wish I would have been in. That would have been so cool. Going from Genesis to Malachi, you know, all the things concerning Jesus. Because it's there in the Old Testament concerning him. And he taught them. He told the Pharisees, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Everything is written to reveal Jesus. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the Son of God. This is the foundation for our life. It leads us and it teaches us about Jesus. You get to know the author of the book, and it makes the book much more interesting. It was kind of like the lady who was given a book by one of her friends. And, you know, a lot of times people give you a book, and they're excited about it, but you read a few pages, and it doesn't do much for you, so you kind of put it aside. And this lady got one of those books, was reading it, and put it aside, wasn't interested in it. One day she'd met an author, and she began to get to know this person. They became good friends. And one day he says, hey, did you ever read such and such a book? And she said, wait a minute, I think I've got that book. I didn't know you were the author. And she pulled it out again, and she started reading it with a whole different light. She became very interested, couldn't put it down, because she knew the author. You know, what makes the Bible sometimes dry for people is that they're not equating it with the personal walk that they have with the Lord. It seems dry. But when they come to know Jesus, it comes alive. Reading the Bible before I became a Christian was like reading somebody else's mail. It was not pertinent to me. When I came to the Lord, all of a sudden the Bible became alive and it was effectively working in me. So revealing Jesus is number one. The second thing is on a daily basis it becomes food for the soul. You know, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, in quoting Deuteronomy 8, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's our sustenance. It's our very basic need. Now, if you didn't go without eating for 2 or 3 weeks, you'd look pretty bad. You'd be in bad shape. Physically, you'd be depleted. Nutritionally, you'd be hurting. And you know, you'd be susceptible to sickness and disease. Spiritually. Why do you think so many Christians get caught up in cults? See, cults are not evangelistic in nature. They don't go out to the world predominantly and try to convince people of their doctrine. They oftentimes prey on those who are already Christians, and they are very effective among Christians who don't know their Bible. You know, they're parasitic in that respect. Because you're more susceptible to false doctrine when you don't know the truth. Counterfeit dollar bill is very difficult to tell unless you know the real one real well. And the same thing spiritually. When you're in the Scriptures, when you're in being fed by the Word of God, your soul is nourished, and you know what? All the diseases of the soul, all the things that would pull you aside from the truth, all the false doctrines, you will be able to recognize. A healthy body can overcome sickness, and a healthy soul can overcome false doctrine. And that is the key. In Job chapter 23, Job, after all of his suffering and all that he went through, he said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth, speaking of God's words, more than my necessary food. How about that? Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them. And your word was a joy and rejoicing of my heart. So is it daily food for the soul? Very important. Get into the Scriptures. Do you realize it has that effect on you? Now thirdly, we can get into the Scriptures to know God's will. What is He like? What does He want? Hosea, the prophet, in chapter 4, verse 6, the Lord cried out through Hosea and said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why did Israel backslide? Why did they go down the wrong way? Why did they start following other gods? It's because they ceased knowing the true and living God. They've forgotten about Him. They weren't into the Scriptures. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When you're in His Scriptures, He'll guide you. He'll teach you. In fact, a contrast to this was in your reading. If you're going through the reading schedule, you will come across Psalm 81 this week. Fascinating passage in Psalm 81, in verse 10 through 16. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I'll fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. And then he says, so I gave them over to their own stubborn heart and to the walk in their own counsels. You know, what a tragedy when we, by not getting into the Scriptures, are given over to our own counsel. I mean, what other alternative is there? If you're not in the Scriptures, where are you developing your opinions about things? Where are you developing your thought processes? How are you going to come to a right conclusion without the truth coming through you? You know, where God will say, fine, you don't want to listen to me? Then make your own mind up. And He gave them over to their own stubborn heart and their own counsels. And He says, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways, and I'd soon subdue their enemies. I would turn my hand against their adversaries. He says, I would have fed them with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock. I would have satisfied you. What an incredible thing. You feel like you're being nourished and satisfied like honey from a rock. Do you have that experience in your life as a Christian that you're overflowing, that you're not dredging, you know, drudgery walking with the Lord, but you're walking in abundance? A large part of that. People want to know, what's the secret? The secret is this. It's just taking the time to get into His Word. And then you will know His will. Fourthly, another effect is we grow in faith. By faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Get into the Scriptures, you get to know Him better. And like anybody, you get to know someone better, you begin to trust them more. You can't trust anybody you don't know. How can you trust God if you don't know Him that well? If you haven't seen Him work and what He does and how He is and what His personality is like. Yes, God has a unique personality. I mean, many times you'll find places where he is humorous, where Jesus is saying things tongue-in-cheek, and God is getting sarcastic with people, and you see his humor, his personality. God, he made us in his image. He gave us a personality. Do you think God is without one? Well, what is he like? The more you get to know him, the more confidence you have in him, the more you trust him, the more you grow in belief. And Peter says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, Hebrews tells us. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of both joints and marrow, of soul and spirit, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It does. It'll take you apart sometimes. It'll reveal to you. My daily devotions in the morning, there are times when the Lord will just stick something at me and he'll say, this is what I'm not seeing right now in you. And I'm like, oh, Lord. And it hits me. The Bible also is a source of incredible joy. There's something very special about his precepts, his directions. Jesus told his disciples, these things I've told you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. The Bible also is a source of victory. Not only do we grow in our belief, not only do we have joy, but it's a source of victory over sin. Psalm 119, verse 11, favorite psalm you should have memorized. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. See, there's an interesting thing someone put in the leaf of their Bible one time. They said, sin will keep you from this book. Have you ever felt that? Sin keeping you from the book? When your heart starts getting more in tune to sin, you have less and less of a desire to pick up the Bible. But the opposite is true also. This book will keep you from sin. There are times when I do not feel like reading the Bible. There are times when I do not feel like getting into the Scriptures. I don't feel especially spiritual. You know, we all have those times. But what you do is who you are. When you make your mind up to do it, whether you feel it or not, so often we're, quite honestly, we're babies to ourselves. We baby ourselves. We cater to every whim and fancy in our feelings, and we don't feel well. And sometimes we pamper others when they're going through trials, and sometimes we just need to kick them in the rear and say, get your face back in the book. That's your problem. And they want to go to this counselor and that counselor, and they've got problems. They want to tell everybody every time, every minute of the day. They've got these self little pity parties. And, you know, what we need to say is get your face back in the book. My counsel's not going to help you. His counsel will. And it does. But oftentimes we baby ourselves with that, and we need to just get back to the book, get back to basics. The Bible is the true source of freedom and holiness. Everything in the Scriptures that we can learn from the examples is there for us. And when we approach the Bible, you know, we approach it with the idea of understanding what it is. Now, this is the interesting thing, as neat as the Thessalonican church was. And they were neat. I mean, here Paul tells them, I thank God for you, without ceasing, that when we came, you received our word, not as from men, but of the word of God, and it's worked effectively in you. And it did. But you know, when Paul came to the Berean city, after he left Thessalonica, he came to Berea. He found out, Acts chapter 17:11, he says that those in Berea were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. For they received the word of God eagerly also. But they searched those things daily to see whether they were so. Now, I love that. Because now you're getting into studying the Scriptures. You're getting into meditating and observing what is there. You don't need to be a scholar. You don't need to know every little detail of the Greek and the Hebrew to understand God's Word. In fact, there was a theological graduate that came into a shoe repairman shop one day and noticed he had a Bible sitting there, and he just graduated from seminary, and so he said, how much do you know that Bible? The shoe repairman says, well, I think I know it pretty well. I've been studying it for years. And the theological graduate thought to himself, oh, I'm gonna shred this guy. He was proud in his own knowledge, and he says, so what do you think this passage means? And the shoe repairman says, oh, I think it means this, and he was right on. And he kept asking him, and finally he was getting frustrated. This guy knew a lot. He'd went to seminary. It's not fair. He paid a lot for his education. And this guy doesn't need, not even no formal education. He knows these things. So he said, I've got one for him. He says, what do you think the Urim and the Thummim were? Now you're probably wondering, I have no idea what the Urim and the Thummim are. I've never heard of it before. Well, if you were with us in through the Bible, you'd have found that that was the little pieces on the breastplate that somehow, some way, the priest would find and discern the will of God, and we really don't know a whole lot about what they were. So the sure repairman says, well, you know, I think it's something that the priests used to determine God's will, but I know one thing. I don't really know a whole lot about that, but I do know that if you change a few letters in the Urim and the Thummim, you come to something practical. And he says, I like to use them and thumb them through my Bible, and then I'm fine. You know, I laugh sometimes at people, you know, they really get into education sometimes. And I'm not against higher education, especially in the Scriptures. But sometimes we miss the practical application. When the Lord just, you know, so much is plain for us just to do. But we want to get in there and twistize it and, you know, reformulize it and put it in package. And one of the things that's my pet peeve, it's my personal pet peeve. Don't get mad at me either. Well, my personal pet peeve is so much of Christian psychology coming out with their new books and just reformulating and rewriting in different ways what they have found in Scripture. And, you know, the writing of these books is endless. Some new...
This concludes the information on Side 1. Boyd will continue on Side 2.
For this or that in Christian circles, and it's endless. When you know that people are not just getting into the Bible itself. Folks, that's going to have the effect on you. I mean, I have tons of books in my library. I'm not against study. I've got a whole library full of books. At the same time, I put them in perspective because I know it's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit teaching us the Word that will have the effect in us. But when you do come to the Bible, very basically, people sometimes get intimidated with studying it, but all it really is coming to observe what is there. You know, there's lots of ways you can observe, like put yourself in the situation and follow along with it. Ask questions like, who's writing this? You know, to whom is he writing? What is his point? What is he saying? And you can make notes for yourself. One of the best study tools is just a blank piece of paper and a pencil and just writing out notes on what you're observing, asking questions. And 90% of the Bible study is just observing what is there. Most of us don't observe that closely. We're not looking close enough to even see what is right in front of us. And that's unfortunate because it is very plain so often. We fail to see it. And yet, as we study, we get into the Scriptures, and we find the Lord speak to us. Now, some people wonder about, well, translation. What translation do you use? And they wonder, isn't there tons of translations? You know, I've got one book in my library that covers bits and pieces of 80 different translations of the Bible. Now, many of the translations have their strengths and their weaknesses, because anytime you take any original language and translate it into another language, you're going to have different ways of expressing the same word. Synonyms that are used, different words. If you compare the New American Standard with the New King James, you're going to see little different words they use, but they're pretty much the same. But there are two primary types of translations. There's what's called dynamic translations, and then there's word-for-word translations. A dynamic translation, probably many of you have in your hands, it's the New International Version. Now, that's not a translation that they're covering word-for-word, but thought-by-thought. And they're trying to convey it, and that's why when you're reading the NIV, it's a much smoother reading. It's a lot easier to read. But a word-for-word is better for study, because if you're going to study the words in the Greek and how they're translated in the English, you want to have a closer translation, a word-for-word. It's a little choppier to read, but it's more accurate word-for-word. Then there are things that are paraphrases, like the Living Bible. Now, you might have the Living Bible, and you might have gotten a lot of neat things out of it, but understand it's not really a translation. It's a paraphrase, which it's really a commentary on the Bible in itself. You're getting this particular author's commentary, comments, on how he views the Scripture. So to me, it's great if you start there, but you really want to wean yourself off the Living Bible or the Amplified Bible eventually to get into a more word-for-word or dynamic translation so that you can study better. But the bottom line is, the Lord is going to teach you. When you get into the Scriptures with a willing heart, and there is the real key, Jesus spoke about anyone coming to the Scripture, if anyone is willing to do His will, he will know of the doctrine. In John chapter 7, verse 17, he says that. Now that's an important point. Because ultimately, the Lord is not going to teach you anything new unless you're practicing what you do know. You know, you're going to know of the doctrine if you're willing to do His will. You know, what good is it to know if you're not willing to follow it? You know, I think part of my study in the Scripture comes down to this, that becomes very effective in my life. When I see things really happen, it's because I'm spending the time meditating on the Scriptures, letting them become a part of me, giving them time just to think about them, not rushing through, but spending time, quiet time, discipline in the morning. You know that you can read through the Bible in a year easily? It only takes about 70 to 80 hours. You could read it out loud. If you're a faster reader, then it would take you less time. But reading it out loud would only take between 70 and 80 hours. And you think, well, that's a lot of time. Not really. It's a matter of perspective. Compare that with the 2,000 hours a year that you work, if it's just a 40-hour work week. 3,000 hours that you sleep. 600 hours that you eat a year. And then, not to mention the 1,500 hours the average American spends watching television a year. Now compare the 1,500 hours of TV to the 70 hours of reading the Bible through in a year. And now it's a matter of perspective, isn't it? Doesn't seem that big anymore. And yet so often we struggle with that, don't we? You know, we got the reading program and we start off real strong and we're marking off the passages. And after a while, it seems like it's so much to do, when it's really not. It's a matter of priority. You see, the bottom line is this. If I'm really convinced that this is God's Word, and I'm really convinced, as Paul says here, that it effectively works in me, above all other possibilities, above all other things I could do, then I'll spend time in it. You know, we know these things in our head. You know, we know in our head, but we haven't translated it to our heart. And that's how a lot of Christians are sometimes starting too. They know in their head Jesus is Lord, but their lifestyle is anything but Christian, because it hasn't really hit their heart. They're deceiving themselves. You know, because if Jesus truly is the Christ, if He truly is the Son of God, if He truly did die on the cross for my sins, if I believe in Him and I'm forgiven of my sins, how can I continue to live in them? I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. Likewise, if this is truly the Word of God and it truly is the only thing that's going to have the effect in my life to change me, then I'm going to spend more time in it. Now, folks, I'll grant you, I don't understand many times how that works. But all I know is that when I'm not in the Scriptures, you can talk to my wife, and she'll tell you there is a distinct difference. And I know for your own life, I've seen many of you change in such incredible ways. And you know what? I can tell you why. Invariably, it will be because you're spending time in the Scriptures. Show me a Christian who's daily in the Scriptures, daily sitting at the Lord's feet, and I'll show you in a year's time a changed individual. You will not be the same person when you spend time in the Scriptures. And if you're willing to make that commitment to get into the Scriptures for a year and go through the reading program. Now, there's other ways you could, all kinds of different reading styles. But anything, whatever it takes to get into the Scriptures, if you do, you're going to be changed in a year's time. Major change. You will see, you will not be the same person. You will not be. And those of you who don't will probably be the same selfish slobs you've always been. Hey, I want to be honest with you. There are people I see from year after year after year, they haven't changed. And you know what? They're not in the Scriptures. They want to get some counsel from someone. They want to talk to this or that. They want to do this, but they're not in the Scriptures. Folks, it's that simple. You want to know the secret for the Christian life. It's letting the Word of God work effectively in you by believing it's His Word and applying it to your life. James says, be not merely hearers, but doers of the Word of God. If you're a mere hearer, you're deceiving yourself. It's in your head only, but it's not in your heart. When you listen to the Word and don't do what it is saying, you're like a man who sees himself in the mirror and goes away and forgets what he looks like. You've forgotten. But as the Word of Christ richly dwells within you, you're going to see some dramatic change. And I want to just see what's going to happen as we take a look back to basics on some of these things. This is basic Christianity. This is what you would get in the New Believers class. But at the same time, something we need to constantly come back to as the most foundational thing for our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we do have a strong confidence that Your Word works in our life. That Your Word is true. That Your opinion is right on. And Lord, we pray that we could shed some of our ideas and thoughts and let You replace them with the truth. That we get into Your Scriptures and let it have its effect on us. Lord, help us not to be deceived with our time, thinking we have no time. We have no time not to. Teach us, Lord, this priority, that we could be a people of Your Word. Lord, that our mates would see the difference, that our co-workers, that our friends would notice significant changes within our life. And Lord, that we might attribute it all to not what we have done, but what we have seen You do through Your Word in our life. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your goodness.
The following message was given by Pastor Lloyd Pulley, P-U-L-L-E-Y, from Calvary Chapel, Old Bridge, mailing address P.O. Box 569, Old Bridge, New Jersey, zip code 08857. God bless you now. Goodbye.